Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1063. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode of GTR, all the way from Switzerland, we have Pete. What's going on, Pete?
I'm just glad you got the country right the first time.
I did? What I was going to say?
You thought? Well, it's because you say Sweden or, you know, something.
Oh.
Everybody always messes it up and says Sweden. So it's just whatever.
I mean,
I figured I'd just message you.
I can see why, you know. Originally, it was going to be Sweden for you.
For a lot of people. For a lot of people.
For okay. a lot of people.
For a lot of people. For a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. We leave it as that.
Exactly. But how you doing?
Good, man. I've been watching this DC fandom. I have to say, because I know we're going to be talking about it here on the show. Mm-hmm. I think ever since the whole quarantine, we've been watching a lot of virtual events for not only gaming, but other type of entertainment. I personally think, Pete, this has been the best virtual event that I've seen of any entertainment, period. Gaming, movies, everything. I think this has been the best one, like the production, the how many people are actually involved, the amount of announcements, content. It's been crazy, man. Especially if you're a fan of DC, I think this is like, it's been like the best thing ever for you, you know what I'm saying? But overall, I think it's actually pretty good, man. I've been having a blast watching it, man. You know, I haven't watched the whole thing, but I think the parts I feel like it's important, which I'm going to be talking about here in a few minutes, those are the parts I wanted to watch. And yeah, it's been trending all over social media. It's been good, man. It's been awesome.
Well, I think it's a safer way of doing these fan events. And I think it's something that we've actually talked about with several other people, you know, whether it's Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo, is just being able to control the message coming across, right?
Yeah.
So with events like this, you can, you know, you take away the factor of the unknown, right? You take away the, oh, is there going to be like a technical glitch, or is somebody going to leak it? You know, is somebody going to leak access or content that wasn't intended for the public's eyes? Mm-hmm. Things like that. And so I'm glad in a way that we get that, because we get to savor that first feeling, right? And especially for the creators that are working behind the scenes, for whether in this case it's DC, you know, is making sure that their message comes across and it's not tainted. And yeah, fine. There were a few leaks, but hey man, we're getting to see things that we've all been anticipating for. And it's unlike other events where things get dropped, you know, like 24, 36, 48 hours before that. So for the most part, you know, they've been able to control it. And hey, amen. I'm stoked. I like it. I'm actually, for some people, you know, especially people that maybe have you know, social anxiety and stuff like that, they're able to take advantage of these events without having to go through that barrier and having to deal with it.
Yeah, totally agree. So, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But first, head over to Gamertag Radio. You can find us on any podcast app. Super easy. Download your favorite podcast app and search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, maybe post a review if you want, if that feature is available there. And yeah, just spread the word about GTR. Also, if you have questions, comments, feedback, and you would like to be part of our FAMA episode, which we had an amazing time recording last week, and we even did like an after show on Twitch to like I think like all the way to 12 p.m. my time, Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, it was a great conversation. So yeah, if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode, this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hey, Gamertag Radio, this is Thiago again, a longtime listener for quite a bit. And I just wanted to take this time to thank you guys for all you do. Danny, Paris, Pete, keep up the good work and keep at it. Thank you. And I just wanted to let you know that you guys are you're my main inspiration for starting even my own show. So thank you guys so much.
All right, so Paris is not going to be joining us for this episode, but hopefully he will be on next time that we record together. So shout out to him. So Pete, let's talk about DC fandom. I think that's a great way to start the conversation. overall, what was like the announcement as a fan of DC? What was like the one that stood out to you the most? And we'll go from there.
So I really liked seeing the Snyder Cut, which I guess we'll talk about after this.
I do have questions about that, but go ahead.
But for me, the personal highlight was watching the Batman trailer.
Woo! I was about to say that. Yes. Okay. I was not surprised. What's his name? The actor Robert
Pattinson.
I mean, I seen his previous movies, and I also had to watch. This is when I was. Not single. I went to watch Twilight with my ex during that time, and I was like, man, this guy's a horrible actor. You know, I seen him also on like Harry Potter and everything. So when they announced that he was gonna play as Batman, I was like, you know, I'm gonna give him a chance, because I remember people flipped out when other actors for previous movies, and a lot of people were flipping out, and then once the movie came out, it was actually pretty good, right? So I was like, you know what? I'll give him a chance. I'll watch the trailer, and then I'll have like my final opinion about it. Because, you know, I've seen his movies. He's okay, you know. But I have to say, man, his performance, amazing. And what I heard, too, they only filmed 30% of the movie. That trailer looks freaking amazing. Dark for sure. Now, I also read, Pete, that this takes place in a different Batman universe?
That's correct. So this one actually is technically filmed in and taking place in the Gothic London, right? Gotham, you know, London, Gotham thing. So, and it's also not supposed to be tied into the DC extended universe. Mm-hmm. So for people that were like me, for example, I actually watched yesterday, I watched Dawn of Justice and I watched the Justice League movie, you know, and knowing that that's going to be like some huge, huge action film. I knew that this is going to be separate and apart. And going back to what you said about Robert Pattinson, I said this when they first made this announcement last year. Mm-hmm. We actually talked about it on the show, and you know, no, like you said, there was a lot of people who were giving you know the movie a lot of guff, because it's like, wait a minute, you're picking Robert Pattinson, you're picking the glittery vampire guy who smolders at everything.
Yeah.
And fine. Movies like that, or maybe even Harry Potter, you know, the Harry Potter series, you know, those weren't movies that, you know, really captured his actual skill. Now you go to movies like he did last year, The Lighthouse. That changes the narrative on a lot of things. And I actually used that movie as an example last year when we talked about it. So for those of you that are maybe curious or skeptical about whether he has any acting chops, that's a movie that you could always turn around and look to and say, okay, you know, that movie got featured in Cannes and won a couple of awards there. So, you know, this isn't, you know, glittery vampires. You know, this, you know, he's got some chops, and I love the look and feel of this movie. This is apparently based on The Long Halloween, which is a story from Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale from like 96, 97, which is generally considered by many as one of the best Batman story arcs of all time. So if you're a Batman fan, you'll be hyped to know and hear that.
Very dope.
I loved his look. Like the things that you see in this trailer, I loved his look. Like he's got the black paint under his eyes that are, you know, from wearing the cowl. And it gives me like the Crow vibes when Brandon Lee, you know, would, you know, rest in peace, you know, when he's got the makeup and paint around his eyes. seeing some of the character choices that they did, Paul Dano as the Riddler, which if you look at the trailer at first glance, I thought they pulled a fast one and flipped it and said, nope, we're using Hush as the main character, which would have been dope with, you know, which would have been just fine for me as well. Mm-hmm. Seeing Jeffrey Wilson as Jim Gordon, who everybody knows from seeing Westworld. It's weird because I can't hear his voice and not think of Westworld now when I see Jeffrey Wilson as the actor. Zoe Kravitz, you saw as as Catwoman.
Yeah, yeah. That was a very quick clip. I was going to ask you that. Like, was that Catwoman? Okay. All
right, yeah, cool. That's her as Catwoman. And then there's another character. Everybody knows him, Colin Farrell, as the Penguin. But I don't know if they show him in the trailer.
They
looked for it, but I couldn't find it. I didn't think it was, we saw another character in there who was up, you know, at the podium talking with Jeffrey Wilson. And I kind of thought, I was like, maybe that's Bullock, you know, because he's the big husky white guy with, you know, with the trench coat. And I was like, okay, maybe that's him, but he could also potentially play that. But then knowing that it was Colin Farrell, I was like, wait, so unless Colin Farrell took on a lot of weight, I don't know if they showed him during the trailer, but I mean, I have some excitement built for this. You know, again, I'm a big, huge Batman fan. Those of you on the show that watch or listen to the show know that I'm a huge comic books fan. Mm-hmm. Batman is one of my favorites. And so seeing this, knowing that this is going to really tap into that detective vibe and not the superhero aspect of his character. Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
Yeah. It looks dope, and I was reading the reactions from everybody on Twitter, and yo, it's been nothing but positive. So it's good. It's a good sign. I can't wait. And only 30% of the movie filmed. Insane, crazy. So
they said 2021 as the release. Yeah. So I mean, you only have 3.5 months left. So
yeah,
we'll see. Maybe they'll make it out of the. Maybe they'll make it. Maybe it comes out the end of 2021. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? We are going to be talking about the video game announcements. I know everybody's like, wait, this is gaming or what? Yes, we are going to, but I'd like to start out with this, man. So, all right, the Snyder Cut, Pete. One thing. So I've never watched the Justice League movie. And the reason why I haven't was because all the bad reviews, everybody's saying, oh, it's horrible. So I decided not to watch. I'm like, you know what? Even my own friends and family, everybody's saying the same exact thing. So I decided not to watch. Now, as a person that haven't seen the film and planning to watch this once it's available, HBO Go Max, is how much of a difference is this version compared to the one they released?
Well, it's going to be, well, some of the main stark differences is the first movie, you know, the one that just, we'll call them, Snyder's Justice League or just the Justice League. The first Justice League movie was only 2+ hours long. This one's going to be 4+ hours long, or at least 4 hours long. And it's going to be split across 4 episodes, as you said, on HBO Max.
For the States outside, they're still working on getting a, sorry if there's like any background noise, they're doing something in construction. So they're planning to get like a licensing deal for international viewers, so they haven't announced that yet, but I hope it comes out maybe on Netflix or something. I think that will work out for them, but go ahead.
I don't know. Knowing that the streaming competition between the two, I don't think we'll see it on competing platforms. I think it'll stay on one. But the first thing you see when you watch the trailer, Darkseid, that's the one thing that they didn't show in the first movie. They never showed him. They showed a drawing of it. They showed his Omega logo, you know, from the Omega sections from the dream sequence. But it's going to be a crazy, and plus it's not going to be as bright and colorful. Snyder has a very, very distinct dark view of the way the DC universe should play out. And so you're not going to see the bright, shiny uniforms like you did with Joss Whedon's, you know, edit of Justice League. So, and remember, Josh Whedon was brought in because Snyder's son died, like in the middle of filming. So in order for him to be able to pay, him and his wife to be able to pay attention to all of the things and to properly grieve and go through that process, you know, they stepped off and Josh Whedon took, again, and this is no, a lot of people do give, some level of stress and vitriol to what we saw in the original Justice. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as a lot of people say. So in my personal opinion, I enjoyed it because I enjoy it for the entertainment value. But a lot of people, I think, take movies to heart. Fans will take it, you know, take exception to things that maybe didn't jive to what they wanted or what they were expecting to see. So they take, you know, they get a little, you know, they get a little bit, you know, more agitated. But I go into movies for the entertainment factor. Going into a movie and then saying, okay, I'm just going to sit back. I'm not going to be uber critical. And if I walk out and I'm like, okay, yeah, that was worth my money. That was worth my time. I'm happy. It's when it's not is when people start to get pissed off. But going back to your question, getting to see Darkseid up close and personal is fantastic, because Snyder's vision for this was supposed to be one of the longest movies released ever, right? You're supposed to get individual story arcs within that. So you would have seen all of Cyborg's metamorphosis from being a football player to the accident that caused him to almost die, to his father Silas bringing him to Star Labs and merging him with the Mother Box to become Cyborg. You would have seen that. You would have seen things like that. You know what happened with Barry Allen. You would have seen, and if you watch the trailer, you'll see all of this. If you would have seen Barry Allen actually meeting his girlfriend's name is evading me now. Iris, yes. Getting to see, you know, get him getting to save Iris and make sure she's not. So it's fantastic. And watching last night's panel and then hearing him talk about how Victor Stone, Cyborg, is the glue, is the heart and soul, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of weird because he doesn't have a heart. You know, he's
yeah,
mostly,
yeah, yeah. I see.
You know, he's mostly a machine. But him being the heart and soul of that group, the glue that keeps everyone together, and how they're all individually loners. If you look at it, Arthur Curry, Aquaman, loner. Diana Prince, loner. Batman, loner. Barry Allen, you know, the ultimate social anxiety character, as played by Ezra Miller, loner, but they all come together as a family, as superheroes, you know, to fight Darkseid. Obviously, you know, it's to fight Steppenwolf in the movie, but to say I'm not stoked is an understatement. It's exciting, and I'm really stoked to see what's going to happen. Because originally, when I heard about it, I was kind of hesitant. It was like, just release the movie, and then this is the movie that we're going to see. I didn't really see why they were going to make a big deal about releasing the Snyder Cut. But now that I've seen this taste,
now yeah. Two things.
I want it.
Two things from that. I noticed the ratio of the video that they showed yesterday. Why is like that? Why not? Why screen? Why is it supposed to be like that? Is there a reason for it? That's number one. Number two, you said that the movie was only filmed from him, halfway? So are they going to use a lot of the footage that was already, that came out from the original movie? How much of new footage are they planning to release? And I like the idea of the whole 4 hours. I think what I read online is that they're releasing an hour per episode, and then once all four episodes releases, they will have 1 4-hour film available too.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope that they do that.
No, they are doing it, and so, also coming out for digital everywhere and Blu-ray and everything. That they said they're planning to do that after. So
the original art direction was supposed to be 3.5 to 4 hours. Right, that's what we were supposed to get. So what we saw in the final edit or the final cut that we saw in the theaters, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, was partially Snyder and partially Joss Whedon. All right. So actually, the perfect thing, the one thing that you'll notice the most is you won't get Superman's
mustache
CGI mustache cover up. You won't see that because that was all part of Joss Whedon's reshoots. that were done after Snyder left. Okay. So you won't see any of that. You'll see like things like the actual, the real return of Superman, the way it was intended by Snyder, not with the reshoots and the re-edits done by Joss Whedon. So those are the things that you'll notice right off the bat. It's this is the original composition in the direction that Snyder wanted to go with.
Mm. Okay. Okay. So let's go with the next. Okay. Here's another question for me, Pete. Black Adam. Were you excited about the announcement? Are you excited to see that The Rock is going to be involved or what? And also, he also teased that there's also going to be a fight between him and Superman.
That's always been the big story. It's, mm-hmm. you know, Superman and Black Adam, two of the most powerful characters in the DC universe. So not surprised that you'll see them if that actually happens. I really like the way that they're bringing back some of the more, and I hate to call them fringe characters, but I like that they're tapping into the original Justice Society, the JSA, mm-hmm. and bringing in Hawkman. You know, bringing in Cyclone, bringing in Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate is a great part because it ties in Black Adam, it ties in Shazam because it brings in the mystic component of the DC universe. It also ties back to John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Deadman, Zatanna, all those characters. Like, those are all core components that people don't traditionally see as, oh, those are DC characters, right? You know, because they're typically, you know, associated with the other side of DC, which is, you know, the more mystical magic part. But I like it. I really dig what they're doing with that. And we all kind of knew The Rock was going to do this. He's been talking about it on social media, as about him wanting to be, you know, the forever king of Kandar. Mm-hmm. It's what we expect to see. Seeing Boss Logic on Instagram put up those edits that he does of The Rock as Black Adam. Those are things we knew were going to happen. So it was just a perfect mixing, and mm-hmm. with his personality and his financial backing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
With his personality and his work ethic, we just knew it was going to happen. We knew that was happening. So mm-hmm.
okay. And one more movie before we start talking about the game announcements from Warner Brothers.
We have to talk about it. We have to talk about her. Let's go.
Wonder Woman, Pete. Woo. Yo, it's good, man. I love the first one. I love the first movie. This one is looking really, really good. 1984. Your thoughts, man? Your thoughts about the new trailer? And we'll go from there, man.
So I have to show my late pass on this. And I think I talked about this when the first Wonder Woman movie came out. Mm-hmm. I was skeptical about Gal Gadot, but she has become that character. She is Diana Prince to me now, right? I mean, before it was Linda Carter, but you know, that was a different time. Mm-hmm. But now, yeah, I definitely see her as Wonder Woman. And it was great to see that. I'm super happy that Patty Jenkins is back to direct this again.
Yes.
Because she did a phenomenal job on the first movie. And I know that there was a negotiation dispute between the two of them because they didn't want to, you know, because the movie theaters did, or the studios didn't want to pay her. But I'm glad that they figured that out and they got her back in. I'm still kind of on the fence about Kristen Wiig as Barbara Minerva or Cheetah. But they did a fantastic job with her. Mm-hmm.
I think they did. I think it looked good. I mean, I have to say, when they finally show her as Cheetah, mm-hmm. it kind of reminded me of Cats for some reason.
No, well, I think there's a major difference between the two of those, because the Cats was kind of one looks really, really well.
No, it's good. It's good.
This is what happens when you have the money studio behind it working on the CGI.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal as Maxwell Lord is really, really dope as well. Mm-hmm. Him using the wishing stone to allow dreams to come true is going to be the core tenet of this movie, which is how we figure out that Wonder Woman loses her power, which is how Kirsten Wiig becomes Cheetah, because the wishing stone tapped with Maxwell Lord's, you know, latent mutant ability. That's how things happen, right? Mm-hmm. Diana wants Steve Trevor back so much that she's willing to give up her power to become, you know, to get, you know, to, she's willing to give up her abilities to allow Steve Trevor to come back to life, which allows Kristen Wiig to take Wonder Woman's power to become Cheetah, to become the ultimate apex predator. Mm-hmm. It's things like that. And then, I mean, at the end of the day, and I'm putting it on video, I don't care if I'm breaking the fourth wall, watching her ride the lightning.
Oh, that's with awesome.
With the lasso.
Sick.
What?
That's sick.
And if you're a big fan of the comic books, actually, if you go back to 1976, I think the name of the title of the issue was called Maximum or something like that. Mm-hmm. That which was the name of the enemy that she's facing in that issue. I think it's Wonder Woman 225 or something like that. She actually does that, which actually turns into, and if you look at the enemy that Maximus, I'm sorry, is the name of the enemy that she faces. Maxwell Lord, Max, she's riding the lightning. Mm-hmm. There's so many little ties, and I'm glad there's little Easter eggs in there for comic book fans like me. That is like, okay, boom. Little things like that are like, okay. They mm-hmm. actually read the books. They know what they're talking about. The little research, the effort that they took. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Dope. Now, we're going to go over the game announcements now from Warner Brothers Games. Which one you would like to start first, and then we'll go from there. Suicide Squad or Gotham Knights?
Let's start Suicide Squad.
All right. So, this... it looks like it's going to be a next-gen only game. This is from developed by Rocksteady. Of course, Suicide Squad. It's coming out for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and hopefully S, and also PC. Pete, this game looks like it's going to be very different than any other hero games that we play and villains in the past. This one, it's a co-op game. And let's say if you play one player, you could switch characters. You could play up to four player co-op. This is not coming out to 2022. I think I'm fine with that. There was no gameplay footage. It was only an announcement trailer, which I totally understand is too early to show anything right now. But are you excited about this announcement, Pete? Suicide Squad, Rocksteady. I mean, we played their games in the past, you know?
So... seeing the trailer and stuff, I'm okay. I'm kind of ambivalent part of it on this because I know how well Rocksteady handles a single player game. We've seen the first three Arkham titles, and we won't talk about the failure of how the port between and the performance issues from the first game, but the storytelling actually. The second Arkham title was probably the best in my personal opinion. And I like that the Suicide game is actually a continuation of the Arkham series. But it's interesting that they went with, for me, it's interesting that it went with Suicide Squad, but not another like single player character. I was kind of disappointed not seeing gameplay.
It's too early. It's 2022.
I get
it's
that.
It's way too early.
But still, it was just curious. I mean, they're not going to show any of the gameplay. I'm also curious to see how they'll, if they're going to allow you to switch between characters in the game, mm-hmm. how does that affect the storytelling? Because if you're switching between characters, it changes links and how the story goes. But if there's a studio that can handle that, it's Rocksteady. So that's the part that I'm not super concerned with, but I'm cool with it. I kind of like how they're going to take the action adventure stuff that they did with the Arkham series and leveraging move sets with the new characters, like, you know, King Shark is in it, and you know, Captain Boomerang and stuff like that. So it'll be curious to see how they handle that. The 1-4 player co-op is the one thing that surprised me, though. To be honest, is I never expected to see Rocksteady flip the script and say, okay, we'll do a multiplayer or a co-op experience as opposed to a single player. So hopefully, and this might sound a little toxic, but hopefully it's not crafted in the same way that Marvel Avengers is.
And I forgot also to ask you about the movie, Suicide Squad movie. They show like a teaser of it. Are you excited for it too or not?
Not as excited as I am for the other ones. And that's because, I mean, we already have the established characters that are returning. We know Harley Quinn's coming back. We know Joel Kinnaman is coming back as Rick Flagg. We know Jai Courtney's coming back as Captain Boomerang. We know Viola Davis is coming back as Amanda Waller. But it's six or seven different new characters. We have Idris Elba coming in as Bloodsport. John Cena as Peacemaker, which I have no understanding.
It looks weird. Honestly, it looks very weird.
Pete Davidson as Blackguard. Nathan Fillion as TDK. Micah Rooker as Savant. Sean Gunn as Weasel, which I thought was funny because Sean Gunn plays Rocket Raccoon in Guardians, and he's playing Weasel in Suicide Squad. You know, and of course his brother James Gunn is the one who's directing the movie. We have Peter Capaldi as the Thinker, and then David Dastmalchian or something like that as Polka Dot Man, which, like, to go from four characters and then all of a sudden you're bringing in, you know, eight other characters on top of that.
How they could pull that off?
I don't know. That's a lot. And apparently it's not going to be a direct sequel of the last film.
It's not. Okay.
I am curious to see how Gunn is going to take this, you know, the direction that Gunn is going to take, knowing how successful he was with Guardians of the Galaxy. And also Taika Waititi is in this one, who is the director of Thor. They haven't announced what character he's going to play. So I'd be curious to see, you know, what role he plays, what character he's going to portray.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they only showed a quick short teaser of it. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll hear more about it in the future. Now let's go to the next game, Pete. Gotham Knights. So this one is coming out all consoles, next gen and current gen, also PC. Again, also is a four-player co-op, or you could also play one player if you want. So Gotham Knights, this is from Warner Brothers Montreal Studio?
Yes.
Am I correct? Okay.
That's correct. All right.
And I quote, Batman is dead in this. Is this going to be part of the same universe as also Suicide Squad? There was no word about that. Is this going to be a totally different? Okay.
Game?
Okay. Your thoughts about that game too, man, from a fan.
Well, let's take let's talk that first point. Yeah. Batman is dead.
Yeah.
Okay. I use the air quotes now for those that are listening. I'll come back to that in a second. So as we go through the trailer, you know, we see the introduction of Nightwing, Dick Grayson. We see the introduction of Tim Drake as Red Robin. We see Barbara Gordon as Batwoman, and we see Jason Todd as Red Hood. For me, if you know me personally, I have actual model figures of each one of those characters in my office. I've had them, you know, in my place in the States. The Robin family, or the Bat family, for me has always been, you know, a lot of fun to live as a fan. Then as we go through the rest of the game, Then as we go through the rest of the game trailer or the end gameplay, we see the introduction of the Court of Owls. We see for a brief glimpse at the end, Talon. Knowing that we're going to have such a pivotal group as the Court of Owls in this game means Batman ain't dead.
I know.
Okay? Which means Nightwing and the rest of the Bat family are going to be in the Belfry partying and taking care of everything else while Batman is exploring the Court of Owls. Okay? I have no concern about the gameplay because the gameplay looks like it's a lot of fun. It's very, very similar to what we saw with Rocksteady's title, where you can go and you'll be able to flip back and forth. I do wish that they would have split that in a way, right? Either the Suicide Squad or whatever the other game would have been, you know, to tie it to another character. Let that be the single player because we know that's what Rocksteady does well. And then let Gotham Knights part be multiplayer or flip it back and forth, but however it was going to be. And that's just my personal opinion. I really, really dug the graphics, the gameplay. I know there was a lot of contention on the internet about people complaining about having like the leveling or the HP above the enemies and stuff like that. But you're playing in like an action RPG type game. You technically usually see that anyways. My other main concern, and I know Paris talked about this, even though, you know, he's not on the show, I'm going to talk for you, Paris. The voice acting. The voice acting was kind of eh.
Yeah, it was very, very cheesy, I think.
But in my opinion too. It's still early, and B, it's based on comic books, folks, right? Comic books, you tend to get those quick little one-liners, the little jokey interludes to break the tension of the situation before you get into the heavier situation. And then that woman's supposed to be, you know, 18 to 25 or something like that. So she's still moderately young. She's still not as aged as Bruce Wayne is. So not surprised that you see things like that, right? Or you hear little quips or little one-liners like that. But the fact that you could play it just like in the others, in the Suicide Squad, you could play it single player, you could play it co-op with your friends. Mm-hmm. I dig that. I dig that. And hey, again, another chance, a real chance for me to now really play as Red Hood, as Jason Todd, one of my favorite characters, mm-hmm. to actually play as the best detective out of the Bat family, Tim Drake, to play as the ultimate heir apparent to Batman's crown, which is Nightwing. And you get to play as Barbara Gordon, you know, which is the alternate universe, non-paralyzed Oracle, right? Because that's, you know, that's comic books. But if you really think Batman is dead, you all got another thing coming, dude.
It was too obvious. Like, why would they show that first, you know?
Exactly.
It is what it is. But I read about the concerns, people saying they don't like the numbers and everything. I don't have an issue with that at all. I just didn't like the voice acting. It was just kind of, yeah, but I'll play it. You know, I think they're not going to make any major changes when it comes to the voices. I think that's it from there. And they show gameplay, which we didn't get to see that during Suicide Squad. Yeah. Yeah. So it looks going to be a lot of fun. Now, my concern, which I would like to see gameplay of that, because look, right now we see that footage that they show. It could be co-op, everything. But I want to see like how it is playing single player. Is your companions, are they smart, the AI, like how it is, you know? That's the only thing that I'm like a little bit worried, you know? But I'm excited to actually play it, man. I think it's going to be good, man, overall, man. You know what I'm saying? Really, really good. So this one is coming out 2021, again, for current and next-gen consoles and also PC. So hopefully we'll get to hear more about this in the future. What I also read, DC is also going to have like a part two of DC fandom sometime next month, I believe. That's what I read online. So maybe we'll get to see more, I guess. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Is there anything else, Pete, from both games that you would like to bring up before we go to the final topic?
No, just to clarify on that, because I think I misspoke. It's Batgirl, not Batwoman. Same character, though. It's still Barbara Gordon. And like you said, September 12th, Explore the Multiverse is going to be the next DC fandom.
Okay, awesome. Like I said earlier, I think this is the best digital event that I've seen all year. It's so good, man. So props to them, and thank you to Warner Brothers and Warner Brothers Games for sending me and Paris. They sent us like a package, a box of a bunch of goodies of Wonder Woman and all the characters. It was awesome, man. So and also they gave me a hat, T-shirt, really really cool, man.
Chill.
Really cool. And P is like going like this. Yeah, it's all good. Chill. But yeah, so any feedback, any questions and comments about everything? Look, this has been the Pete Show because he's the man when it comes to like comic books, man. So I always ask questions to Pete or Paris, but he's not here. So yeah, Pete, it was a great job with that, man. You did an amazing job, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so.
That's what happens when you tap into your passion, right? You don't shut up. And I'm looking at Adobe Audition right now, and it's like all green, which means I talked a hell of a lot.
You did. 45 minutes it's worth OP. That's
we can just funny. Edit you out, just release it as my stuff, and that's all. If you want to do that, it's okay.
Solo episode. That's it, man. Solo episode. All right. So we have another game that we're going to be talking about here. Samurai Jack, right? For, I believe this is what, PC?
It's actually for Nintendo Switch. Everything,
right? PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, yeah, Xbox
it's
One.
It's all platforms. PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch. The only one it's not on is Vetrix. So.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. So I just downloaded the game on for the Switch. I just got it. Actually, I found I found the review code in my spam folder. I don't know what's going on. I've been getting a lot of stuff there, man. So I missed out. But I know UP, you were talking with Paris about getting the game and everything. So tell us a little bit of, about the game, man. Is it good? Your feedback? Are you a fan of Samurai Jack? And we'll go from there, man.
All right, so this game is from the developer Soleil, published by Adult Swim Games, came out on Friday, August 21st. Like you said, it's on all platforms, PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Cost is $39.99. I would call this a hack and slash RPG. I think it was very interesting that they actually used cutscenes from the original cartoon as part of the game assets. But what you're basically doing is you're following, technically, it's, I wouldn't say it's a prequel or a post, you know, it's more like a midquel. It's like, it takes you right into the middle of the original Samurai Jack cartoon. You're trying to you're trying to defeat Aku, you know, the demon, while trying to reunite with Ashi, who just happens to be Aku's daughter. And you're going back, and what this game does is you go back in time, back and forth, through different time periods, trying to survive and get to the thing. And that's where the hack and slash part comes in. It's a lot of hack and slash platforming where some situations are, you know, you're on the rail, you know, going through, you know, the game will take you through the actual trail or the path that you have to go through. And there's other parts where you're in free flow combat, where you can switch between your sword, you can switch between axes, you can throw knives and throwing stars, you can throw what are those big sickles or whatever. You can use a bow and arrow, you can shoot guns, and you're going up against characters that are usually lower level, but it's mostly, I guess you could call it kind of like a Dynasty Warriors type thing, where they just like mob you with characters or monsters to try to just, you know, that you can kill. And then ultimately, you need to use those, you know, use the power-ups or use the money that you gain from defeating all these monsters. And then you'll meet up with characters from the original game, like the samurai, Damongo, the Scotsman, and things like that, the Scotsman's daughters. And you'll go and they'll give you weapons or they'll give you power-ups or you buy or you do training or you have to actually repair. And that was one of the few things that actually kind of bothered me, is that you go through the game and it's almost a chore, because you have to grind so much to get gold or to get a Kai fire and things like that, so that you can constantly repair your weapons that you use a lot. And it forces you to actually learn new weapons, whether it's a hammer or a mace or an axe. You always have to constantly go through and repair those, so you're not always reliant on the same one. But they all have different things. And then you have your skill tree that you can go through for your health, for your person, or for your weapons. But one of the really cool things that I really enjoy and appreciate about this game is the fact that your health, while you have a bar on the bottom left of the screen that shows your health, you have a visual representation of your current health. So the more damage you as Samurai Jack take, the more damage you'll actually see happen to your gi. So if you're at full health, your gi is pristine, it's fresh, it's white. But if you're like near death, it's like torn to just like your belt, and like you're, you know, it's dirty and it's dungy. But like, and halfway through, like you'll see like your sleeves start to disappear on one of your arms and then onto the other. And then you start to look battle worn and you get a little whip. But that being said, if you're a fan of Samurai Jack, it's a refreshing change. Right, like especially for someone like me who spends most of my gaming time playing PUBG or Escape from Tarkov or Warzone and stuff like that, you know, to play a game like this takes you out of that, okay, that realism, you know, sense, and brings you into, you know, just a fun hack and slash, because sometimes you just need those in your life. You just need those silly games. Not to say that that the game isn't difficult, because it does have a modicum of difficulty as you're going through. Trying to figure out how to beat some of these enemies. Is it the best game out there in the world? No. I think, you know, there's certain things like the camera movements where you're always constantly on the move that it could have been improved. I actually played it with the controller, because playing it on keyboard and mouse for me personally was unplayable. I couldn't do it. I've read up that the Switch port is kind of herky jerky in some points, where it might be too much for it. But I mean, hell, you've played games like you played was it Outer Worlds on the Switch. So yeah, I guess you're kind of used to it.
there's games that work, like for example, The Witcher, it works fine. The Outer Worlds, you could tell loading was longer. It was a little iffy here and there, but I played the whole thing. I finished it, you know, nonstop. I was playing it. I'll try the Switch version. I'll let you know how good or how bad it is, you know. So, but I have to mention this. Shout out to Paris, because he's in a video that he recorded for Adult Swim, and they actually showed it on TV, and it's also online about Samurai Jack. So, you know, I want to say congrats to him. It was a lot of fun watching the whole video, and not only him, but it was other people that we know from the gaming community. They're part of it too, man. So it was cool. Very cool, for sure.
And that was a really cool thing to see, you know, Adult Swim games do for the creators and stuff like that in the space. But again, if you're a fan of the original cartoon, and I'm gonna butcher his name because I've never, but Genndy Tartakov, who's, you know, the original creator of like Powderpuff Girls and stuff like that. Hey, if you're a fan of this game, which I was, like, I'm actually contemplating certain things for Samurai Jack. I'm not gonna talk about it because management might be watching. I had been planning something for this, I enjoyed it just because it's a departure for me from the games that we've been playing. It's good to see games come back like this and Fall Guys and stuff like that to just change it up. So you're not always in the dark and dungy stuff, but it's fun. It's enjoyable. I had a good time. I would say, I know there's been some criticism on the price. Some people may not think that it's worth the $40.
I think that's fine.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
$40 is fair. Yeah. $59, I'll be like, major pause. But $40 is not that bad. But hopefully in the future, they might have some deals that you could find it for cheaper. So you could just wait if you want. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For a game like that.
But again, if you're a fan of Samurai Jack and you like the story, I would say go through it. I spent, let's see, there's 9 levels. I got through 5 yesterday and it took me about 6.5 hours. So I'd say that gameplay, depending on how well you do, could be anywhere from like 12 to 18 hours, which I think for $40 is not that bad of a trade-off. I mean, they designed the level, so it's okay. You go through, you defeat your bosses, but as a little hint, there's other things you can do. You know, if you're a fan of making sure that every box and vase and jar and stuff is smashed as you're looking for power-ups or you're looking for gold, then you'll be a fan, because there's a lot of parts where I went through and I was like, okay, I didn't know about this. And then there were some parts where I died and had to come back, and I was like, all right, let me re-explore this area. And I found ways to get back where I might have found a chest, or I might have found like another thing. So if you know that going into it, you know, take your time, go through each and every level and make sure that you check every nook and cranny, because it's you'll find a lot of stuff.
That's good. I'm definitely gonna try out the Xbox. I mean, it's on the Switch version, and I'll let you know my thoughts, Pete.
Please do so.
Sure. So is there anything else? Is there anything else that you want to bring up before we wrap this up, man?
I don't know, man. I need to give you a chance to speak, bro, because I've...
This is the Pete Show. That's it. It's not No Gamer Tag Radio. It's the Pete Show, you know? So Switzerland Pete, we should call him.
Swiss Pete. The Swiss Pete Show.
Swiss Pete. It's all good. Now, everybody, send your feedback and your comments. Let us know what you think of Pete's episode all about DC and also now Samurai Jack. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. I know that the other day when I was off, Paris and Peter were talking about podcasts, and Paris said that Google Music is going to, they're going to remove it and replace it to YouTube Music now. The music side, it is true. Google Podcast is still going to continue, but it's separate from YouTube Music and Google Music. It's totally separate from that. So you could also still listen to us through there, and that's fine. Or just search for us on any podcast app, and make sure to follow us and post a review, and it will help us out, man, to climb top of the charts. All right. So if you'd like to be part of a fan mail, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Shout out to everybody who's watching us now here on Twitch. twitch.tv/gamertagradio. That's twitch.tv/gamertagradio. And I got to see, I think, Arctic has like 40 something months already subscribed, I believe, Pete.
Wow.
Right?
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah,
that is insane. Shout out to him, Tanya, Sharif. Everybody's watching here, man. It's really, really cool. Oh, 36. There you go. Shout out to you, man. Thanks for the support. Also, for those who are listening, make sure to join our Discord channel. We have a nice little group there. We always talk with our community. It's a lot of fun seeing people signing up all the time. So if you would like to be part of our Discord channel, go to discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. You could interact with other people, chat. Doesn't matter if it's mobile, tablet, computer. Just take advantage of it. And we sometimes we do giveaways there, man. Also, last week, I gave away a free Battletoads code for Steam. I have no idea who got it. I just read the code online. Not online, on the show. And whoever got it, let me know, man. Because I know somebody heard it. I got to see the numbers. It's pretty high up there. So somebody downloaded it. So congratulations. All right. And we're going to have more giveaways like that. Pete. You tweeted something about a giveaway. Let me see. Because I saw that. I'm like, what's this about, man? So is this going to be exclusive for listeners? Or this is going to be for Twitch viewers?
So I'm going to drop this in the chat right now. If you guys are ready, I am dropping in a code for Samurai Jack.
Woo! For PC. So for PC.
For Steam, yes.
Steam, so, there you go. All right.
If you are ready, there it is.
Good luck.
Enjoy.
Good luck, everyone.
Enjoy
the game. That's a free code. That's a free code there, man. So see, this is why sometimes it's good to join our Discord channel, watch us live, or listen to the podcast, because we will release codes in different ways. We're just going to surprise you. So this one was for our Twitch viewers. And let's see who will get it first. So congratulations, whoever redeems it first, man. So anything else, Pete? Anything else, man?
That's it, man. That's it, dude.
Yeah, you gotta take a break, man. That was a lot of talk.
Woo.
Yeah. I think you've done one episode, I think, solo, right? Forget one about episode,
E3.
Yeah. E3 doesn't count.
E3 doesn't count. Wow. You says E3 doesn't count. So our work doesn't
You know that. No, I'm saying solo for like 60 minutes, 40 to 60 minutes solo.
Yeah, that was a while ago though. Yeah, it's I don't do this very often, because I mean, you and Paris are the wordsmiths, man. I work in the background. You guys are the workhorses of this show. I'm the guy behind the boards, man. You know, you guys are, you know, the best part of GTR. I just make my job is to make sure you guys look well and look good on the stream.
Oh, well, thanks. thanks. So a couple of things. I found the video. We're gonna wrap this up in a few minutes, but I it's cool to talk about this. So I was digging through my files that I have. I have a lot of crap on my computer because I love saving stuff, you know. So I found a video where you announced that you were going to move to Switzerland and you were going to stop recording from GTR. Look, you're still here doing this.
I know. And here I am. Here we are. Here I am talking over an hour.
All about DC Comics, right?
That's all it took, man. It was just get me on talking about comic books and
And you're back.
I'm back.
You're back. Yeah. So that's one. Another thing that I just noticed is this is pretty insane because I've never thought about it. January, February, around there, is going to be my 20th year as a content creator. That is freaking insane. I feel so old, Pete. Your son was even alive when I started recording it. 98? Holy crap. Huh?
98?
Oh, wait. He was born 98?
Dude, he's 21. Oh, 22 that. In 2 months, bro.
So he was 1 year old then when I started.
Jesus.
Yeah. 20th anniversary, man. So, because that's the time where Phantasy Star Online came out for the Sega Dreamcast around that time. So, yeah, it's crazy. Insane. Never thought in a million years that was going to happen. But, yeah, there you go. Still doing it, man. Just want to say that. And I've been finding a lot of old pictures. I found a couple of old, it's released, but I found it hidden a couple places for my first ever gaming event, which was the launch of SegaNet. They sponsored the VMAs here in New York City, and it was hosted by Chris Rock. So I was there. I found a couple pictures of that event. That was in 2000. The year 2000. This is, it's insane. I found that. I found some other pictures of the launch of the original Xbox, pictures that I have never seen before, which was taken inside of Toys R Us at Times Square. I'm probably going to post that on my Twitter account. Make sure to follow me there. And just let me know what you think, man. It's cool. You get to see this one picture of me with some of the gamers and Bill Gates that you probably have never seen before. I seen that. I found a couple pictures of just Toys R Us setting up the launch of the console, and they have like the original Halo games everywhere, the controllers, the original Xbox controller. Yo, insane. So I'm going to post that up on my Twitter account later on today, man, so you guys will look at them. It's really cool. And not just that, man. Just want to mention that very quick. And shout out to Paris, man. Once again, Paris, congratulations on that Adult Swim. That was really cool. And I think he's going to be hosting Gamescom, some Gamescom event they're having with IGN this week. I don't know much about it, but just make sure to follow Paris on Twitter, Vicious696, and you're probably going to be posting more information about him. And so shout out to him, man.
Yep.
And that's it. All right. Thank you for listening to The Pete Show, episode 1063. This was your host, Danny and Pete. Make sure to stay tuned. We're going to have more content later this week. And that's about it. Until next time, we are out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.